The only way you can do that is say, yes. I mean, go ahead and say, yes, this was put on me. Yes, yes, it wasn't my fault. Yes, I was just a little kid. Yes, I was a victim. And now I'm an adult sinner. This is sin. Oh, that's so hopeful when you get to that point. It is so hopeful when you get to that point because God can forgive and God can heal sin. He does that. That's the thing He does, man. I mean, He does that. That He does. And so much of the slowness, the painful, tortuous, false starts in your healing is because you've never come to this place. That's what confession is. And you can't do it on your own. If you'd have seen the brilliance of this a long time, you'd have done it. God, by His power, has got to, with your permission, He won't do it without your permission, strip away all of your defenses and say, I do what I do because I'm a sinner and I sin. Have mercy on me, O God. And like I say, you've been defending yourself, you've been putting it off, you've been making excuses for a long time. It's not going to go down without a fight. You need His help. But let me tell you, you don't get started until you get to there. Okay, that's confession. Now, the second step in overcoming strongholds is repentance. Now, there are several steps within this whole concept of repentance. And repentance isn't what you've probably been told. You know, groveling on the floor, crying and letting snot drip down your face and feeling really, really bad. That's a gift from God. If that ever happens to you and it's authentic, go with it. I mean, that is so good for you when you get that kind of, but that's a gift. You can't put that on. That's the Holy Spirit repenting through you. But repentance isn't, you know, working up some, I feel bad. Everybody feels bad. Everybody's got guilt. Everybody's got shame. Getting people to repent is the cheapest, easiest thing in the world. That's why I hate so much goofy holiness preaching, is because it just tacks it. It just taps into this residual guilt and pain that everybody already has anyway. And it just reminds you of how bad you feel, and if you grovel at the altar, then God will like you more. I mean, everybody's going to buy that. That's an easy sell. It's also wrong. More than that, it's demonic. It's another subject, but that's not repentance. Repentance is you go to God and confess to Him your stronghold. You take it to Him and say, this is what I have been standing in and standing on instead of you. I repent of it. I bring it to you and I say, this is sin. This is sin. I have been going to this behavior pattern for security and control instead of coming to you. It's rebellion. It's sin. It's bad. I agree with you, God. It needs to be done away with. The second step of repentance is to declare your radical dependence on God. The first step is kind of negative. It's sort of throwing up that which is bad, spiritually puking out your stronghold. The second thing is to replace it, to take in God as stronghold and say, now that I see this, I fully depend on you. These strongholds did a lot of stuff for me. I've come to depend on my drugs, my eating, my rage, my depression, my whatever, my sickness, fill in the blank. I've come to depend on it, but I renounce it and reject it utterly, and I commit myself to depend totally and solely and only on you. And God, that is scary, because I don't know if you're going to take care of this, 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 and this. But if you don't take care of it, I'm dead meat, because I'm going to depend totally and solely on you, your word, your truth, and that's that. And that is an aspect of repentance. You turn away from and you turn toward. You turn away from the old and you turn toward God. And this is definitely a God thing too. You can't just take down these instructions, listen to the tape, and go do it. You have to receive the power of God in your life to make this fully effective. Now, your obedience is absolutely essential. You step out. You say the words. You work on it. You call for God. You sit down in the middle of the floor and you wail until He comes. So you just keep praying, and don't get tricked into just dealing with the symptoms, okay? Well, I'm angry. Here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to count to 10 before I say anything. That's good. I mean, folks, it works, but it doesn't get at the root. It works in a symptomatic sort of way, but you're still dying of an ulcer because it's still in here. It's just that the acid doesn't spew out on somebody else until you count to 10. Any gardeners here? What happens when you chop a you don't like dandelions in your lawn. Say you don't like dandelions in your lawn. You chop them off. What happens? You end up with two dandelions. I've actually done this. Chop off the top of a dandelion, and there's some mechanism in the dandelion that sends down two shoots. And you end up with two dandelions in place of one. You know what you have to do? You have to go in and dig out the root. And what I'm saying to you, that's why I say keep praying. Don't just follow these instructions, but keep praying. Depend on, look for the power of God, because you have to cut clean to the bone on this stuff. Now, the third step of repentance follows the second step. The second step is turn totally towards God, your stronghold, and the third step is to call out to Him and rest in Him and depend on Him as your deliverer. Simply because you turn to God does not mean that you're free of the strongholds. You all know that from experience. I mean, most of you are Christians, but are you totally free from lust, anger, depression, fantasy, lying, alcohol, performance addiction, shame? Are you totally free of those things? No, because they have clung to you like bats, sucking the blood out of you. You're a new creation in Christ, but the old sickness and strongholds and the effects of them still cling to you. You need to be delivered of those. And fighting, standing up, you know, memorizing Scripture alone will not do that. You need the sure enough spiritual power of God to come in by prayer and by confession and by faith to deliver you. Now, such deliverances are often instantaneous. I've had instantaneous deliverances. But more often than not, it's a process. It's something that you walk out bit by bit in prayer. Now, in a few minutes, we're going to have a ministry time where we're going to deal with this specifically. So let God begin speaking to you about that. If you've identified your stronghold and you've turned away from it, you see how bad it is, and you've turned to God, now we need to pray that His power will come down and release that which holds you strong and give you freedom to then begin the third step in earnest, and that's obedience. Once we reach the point of some freedom through confession and repentance including God being our deliverer, once we reach that point of some freedom, we then need to walk out the new life. Old, dysfunctional, sinful patterns need to be replaced by new patterns. Last week, I asked you, how do paths in fields get formed? By walking on them repeatedly. How do they get deep and rutted? By walking on them repeatedly for a long period of time. That's what strongholds are in your life and in my life. How do you start a new path? You start walking in a different part of the field. How does that new path, that good path, become deep and rutted? By walking on that new path consistently, repeatedly, over a long period of time. How do you let the old path heal up and close up? By not ever walking on it, or walking on it so rarely. Paths are established through repetition. New paths are established through repetition. Old paths heal by stopping the repetition. So, practice, repetition, commitment, a long obedience in the same direction, as Eugene Peterson says, is how this new life is worked out. Now, the problem is that because of some bad teaching in a lot of charismatic circles, there are many folks here who have gotten the mistaken impression that the Christian life is a matter of Christian magic. Yes, there is dramatic healing of physical ills. We've seen that here. I see it all over the world. Yes, there is instantaneous correction of things that are wrong with people's personalities through inner healing and deliverance and all the rest. Yes, we've seen that. But that's not the Christian life. The Christian life is lived out day by day in the little things and the big things. I'm working with a young man right now who is brilliant, who's good at everything, and who's natural, and wants to do great things for God, but never ever will, because he hasn't attended to the little things in his life. Little obediences, little acts of character. There are big ruts of rebellion running all the way through his life. And the promise of the greatness and the genius that God has put in him is going to go unexperienced and unrealized for the church simply because he refuses at this point, I hope that he won't forever, but he refuses at this point to simply do the right little things day by day and begin making new paths of obedience to replace the old paths of passive rebellion. Every boy that I've ever talked to dreams of stepping up to the plate in the big game and knocking the home run that wins the game. Every boy dreams of stepping onto the ball field and making the dazzling defensive play that shuts down the opposition. We've all dreamed that. Some of us still dream something like that. The spotlight where I can shine. But the fact of the matter is that that little boy or the big boys will never ever experience those moments of greatness without days and weeks and months, hour after hour of practice at the skill. You will not perform as a Christian. You will not perform as a person in real life. You will not become fully human and fully alive without practice, 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 and committed practice over a long period of time. It simply will not work. So don't be waiting for the word from the prophet that's going to fix you, or the one prayer that's going to get you totally over the hump, or the one conference that's finally going to let the other penny drop and let you get on. If you haven't learned, and if you haven't decided yet that to become fully human, fully alive, fully functioning in the body of Christ, experiencing love, joy, peace, the ability to forgive, and everything else, if you haven't learned that fruit of the Spirit comes only by a long obedience in the same direction, forsaking the old paths and deliberately trailblazing the new paths, then you have been misled, and I know many of you have. I'm here to set the record straight. That's where this church is going. I'm preaching to you and talking to you with 5 years down the road in mind. I believe in the quick fix for some symptoms. I believe in the quick fix for some problems. And we're going to do that. We're going to try that today, as a matter of fact. But that's only one aspect of freedom that lets you get free for a deeper and more profound obedience. Okay, now in closing, let me return to point number two. Let's say that we know that we have strongholds, and we even know what they are. Let me just say something. We have many. Some of them you don't even know about yet. Don't worry, okay? Don't worry. All that will come clear in time. If God showed us everything all at once, we would fall down dead from the sheer weight of it. We have defense mechanisms inside that keep us blind to a lot of the things that's wrong with us and the deep, deep evil in our heart. And that's probably good, because we'd all be in insane asylums if it weren't for that defense mechanism. So some of the things are going to come as a complete surprise later on down the road. What I'm talking about now is, can you get in touch with a pattern, with a script in your life, with a habit of thought or action or emotion, something that you have identified as a stronghold? Can you do that? Now, have you been able, or can you now, allow yourself to see how bad it is and to understand it and identify it as sin and to call it sin? Can you let God give you the grace of feeling the pain of it, the destructiveness of it, the uselessness of it, the deception of it, and to grieve and to mourn how it has hurt you and hurt other people? Can you do that even a little bit? If you've gotten that far, then we're ready for the step that I want to do this morning. And for some of you, it will be life-changing and get you over the hump. For others, it'll just be the next step. Okay? But we're going to take whatever freedom God gives us. So would you please stand? Tell you what I'm going to do ahead of time. What I'm going to ask is for God to give us an atmosphere of deliverance to step into today. I'm going to ask God to establish a place, a spiritual power that we can, through obedience, step into and find ourselves being washed and cleansed of that which we have confessed and begun to repent of. Now, I'm going to ask some questions, and I want you to respond audibly if you can, honestly. Don't do it. Just watch what's going on and pray if you can't do this honestly. You don't get any points deducted if you don't want to participate, or you can't. You can't do it honestly. Question number one, can you identify right now some stronghold in your life that you want rid of? Just say yes. All right? Have you sensed... have you sensed its destructive power in your life and in the lives of others? Can you feel it a little bit? All right. Lost a few. That's okay. This takes time. Do you reject it? Do you turn radically from it? Do you now this morning turn totally and completely and without any reserve to God for to fulfill, to do everything in a righteous, good way that your strongholds did for you in a bad way? Are you ready to turn to Him and to trust Him totally? All right, we can do business. Now, as I pray and you want to come forward and be prayed for specifically, then please feel free to do that. It sounds like we're going to have a pile of people up here. That's fine. If you don't want to come forward, that's fine. It may work anyway. But we have discovered that if people will get together and feel each other and find support, and if we can look at them and lay our hands on and pray for them, it tends to work a little bit better. So you're free to do that. Now, if your heart is going like this, and if you're not a little bit nervous about this, you're not paying attention. Okay. So if you think that something's about ready to happen and you want to be in a place where people can speak specifically to you, then I encourage you to come forward. Holy Spirit of God, I pray now that you intensify the healing ministry of Jesus Christ. Our confession is this: on Christ the solid rock we stand, all other ground is sinking sand. Everybody together, on Christ the solid rock we stand, all other ground is sinking sand. Now, in the strong name of Jesus Christ, I speak to all of the spiritual power connected to our strongholds. of lust, anger, compulsion, obsessiveness, lying, deceit, depression, rage, anger. In Jesus' name, all of those and more, I speak to all the spiritual power that have nestled into and have clung to and hooked into those strongholds. I command you now in the strong name of Jesus Christ to get ready to depart. You're put on notice. You are on holy ground and you are trespassing. And Jesus says, you may not stay. You must leave. And so now, Holy Spirit, I pray that you now gather all of that up and get ready to get rid of it. Okay, now what I'm going to have to ask you to do is this, and I want you to speak it out, and an indication of how committed you are will depend on the volume, or the volume will indicate the level of commitment. I want you to do this, and if you don't understand exactly what I'm saying, raise your hand so that I can explain it. We're going to do this together so nobody will hear what you're saying. You're going to say, in the name of Jesus Christ, I renounce, and then you fill in the blank, self-pity, rage, whatever. You say that. And then I'll give you the next thing to say. Are you ready to do that? In the name of Jesus Christ, I renounce depression. Okay. Second part of that. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command every evil power connected with that to leave me. Let me just make sure that you got this right so we can all say it together. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command every evil power connected with that stronghold to leave me now. In the name of Jesus Christ, I command any power to leave me immediately. Now in Jesus' name, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you intensify the healing power of Jesus in our lives. Come, Holy Spirit of God, come in power. Now, if you need to come forward and to be prayed for specifically, if you're in the midst of a conflict or a battle, please march down the aisle, march down the sides, come up here and let us lay hands on you and minister to you. If you're in a battle and you need to get free of it, okay, the people that are coming up for prayer are facing the front. I want people to come and you feel that you're strong enough and able and you have some authenticity. I want you to come forward and stand in front of them. Ask them, can you tell me what you want prayer for, and then pray on them, okay? If they don't want to say, just lay your hand on them and bless them. If they just want to do this between them and God, then let it go at that. Come on up and get in front of them and lay your hands on them and pray for them. Now, in Jesus' name, I pray, Holy Spirit, that you anoint us with the ability, anoint us with the grace and the power and the ability to speak specifically to strongholds and their effects and to pronounce healing. One of the things that you're going to do, prayers, one of the things that you're going to do is you're going to lay hands and you're going to pray on and for the wound created by the exodus of the stronghold. There is a void, there's a vacancy. Speak into them the Lord Jesus Christ and His power and His love. Speak into them. Look into their eyes and speak into them. Speak right into them. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, He will follow me, not my stronghold, but He will follow me all the days of my life. Goodness and mercy will follow me. I'm being followed by goodness and mercy. I'm no longer being stalked by my stronghold. Look them in the eye and pray that into them because they need something of substance to replace what has come out. In Jesus' name, I pray now, Lord, give us the anointing and the power and the insight and the grace and the compassion to minister effectively to your children, our brothers and sisters, in Jesus' name. Now may the grace of God, the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and the power of God, the Son, and Holy Spirit rest upon you And may the light of his countenance shine upon you and those whom you love, and especially on those whom nobody loves. Go in peace. Have a good week.